school. If you remember, I know, just kind of look at what's going on here. We're working on the millennial reign. The millennial reign, if you can see that all, I'll move over a little bit so you can see it here. But we're working on the millennial reign, and this is part three of, next week will be the final part. This is part three. We cover, remember, the purpose of the millennial reign. That was pretty, I think, pretty clear in Scripture. The structure. And just real quickly, some folks in here, the purpose is Jesus Christ, King of Kings, getting exalted. A millennial will get an inheritance. Jews get the kingdom back for the purpose. Structure, we have a government, a theocracy. Jesus Christ is running with a rod of iron. A couple more about that. A new earth and renewed ordinances. And the most difficult part of this is the people group. That can give me a little bit, some of this I'm going to say I believe so. Some of this stuff say the Lord, but you know what though? You know, some of this can get a little bit, but I think the scriptures should have enough in there. We can see exactly what's going to happen in the millennial reign, who will be there. There's some interesting things I find be very encouraging for the saints. And you know what? That's kind of what our next step is. You know, the average person, we're going to heaven, you know, they think it's going to be, we're going to be on some little clouds with a harp and all. I mean, just that's a bunch of baloney. Really, we're going to be in the millennial. That's the deal. And as a thought, we got the judgment seat of Christ. We get that. And the wedding supper of the Lamb. I like to eat. Amen. So that's praise the Lord. That's good. But you want though? That's just a getting ready for this. So where are you going to be? What are we going to be doing? We're going to cover that today and next Sunday. I think it's pretty exciting. It's kind of a wake-up call. But this is real important because if you ever go somewhere, whether it be at a restaurant, or a trip. I brought my wife to Switzerland on a honeymoon. That was kind of nice. It was really nice, right, honey bunny? Amen? And there are things to look forward to. And sometimes when you look forward to things, you have the anticipation can be better than the event. Go to a restaurant, lousy restaurant, bad service, overpriced, right? Or you go on a trip somewhere, sometimes you think about all these things and all that good. But I guarantee you, man, this will be good. But there's some warnings the scripture gives us, and we need to take heed as believers about some of the warnings here because it's right in the God's word what can happen, so we need to heed those things. Amen? So today, at the time I have, I'm going to fly because there's a lot going on here. I'm trying to get through this today because next time I'm going to cover about things of the underworld, which are kind of in detail, which you may have not know or kind of tying together. So I believe there's six people groups, and I covered this last time. I started here, but I want to kind of just recap a little bit because it's a whole thing. I believe there are going to be six people group in the millennial. I think Scripture show it. And the first one here is us, the born again believers. That's pretty easy. It's on 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." So when the Lord comes back, that's going to be a blessing. What's interesting is, when He comes back the second time, what's interesting, in 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, Revelation, it says, "And He was clothed," 2 Corinthians 5:1-11. Let me just quickly cover that real briefly here because I want to fly. I covered it last time, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11 talks about this year, about the, "For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Got to cover this a little bit. "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." That's pretty scary. Get in a minute here. "For we that are in this tabernacle, that's our body, do groan, being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon the mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for our same thing is God, who also had given us the earnest of our spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that we our home and the body, we should absent from the Lord. God already sees up in heaven. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Amen. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone receive things done in his body, according to that which he had done, whether it be good or bad. That's the judgment seat of Christ, folks. That's some pretty scary things right there. You just read over that thing. That's pretty scary. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but are made manifest unto God, and I am God, and I trust also you're made manifest in your conscience. Now, so what's happening is the believer, when he comes back for the rapture, for our church, we go through his judgment seat of Christ. And it says we can be found naked. Now, look at this verse here in Revelation 13, 19, 13, 14. Just want to cover this on for the believers here. Listen to this here. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven follow him upon white horses. Get this now, comma, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. But how about the folks that are found naked? The believers. Are they coming with them? I don't know about that. Think about that. Right there, see? See, so we're, if you're, in other words, if you've done nothing for Jesus Christ, you're saved, and it's a finger, well, you're going to be changed. You're going to be, but hey, I come back with them. Maybe back there peeling potatoes. I don't know, but it does appear, hey, folks, man, that you know what? Make sure you're not found naked. That's a, hey, you know what, though? That, study it out. That naked thing's a pretty negative thing in the Bible all the way through. So, you know what? Imagine going through millennial reign and there you are, like God, and you're naked, whatever that is. I know it ain't a real thing. So, you want to come back, you want to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to make that point clear because we're wanting folks to come back. Okay, get that? Okay? So, make sure you get that. That's a little wake-up call for the believer. It appears that there's a possibility of that, and it says that in Scripture. It makes it real clear. So, pick that through there, okay? Now, like our work on earth, now for the Lord, it'll be manifested in the future. Hey, this is a dressing room for the millennial. You get that? What's going on here, folks, is a dressing room for the millennial. And that's exactly what happens in my business. I deal with estate planning, and I retired 35 years, and I get how many people that had children. They were born of them, flesh and blood, but they didn't get an inheritance. Why? They were kind of bad with things. So yeah, they recognized them, they had to recognize them in the documents, but they didn't get any physical benefits and inheritance. That's exactly what God is going to do here, I think, here for the people who just get saved and haven't done anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. I gave you verses last time, Isaiah 9:7, Luke 1:33, you know, for time's sake, you can look at those, I went through them last time here, so real important to get that, okay? It seems that Adam and Eve, if they have not sinned, remember, they were originally made in the image of God, and they didn't have that fall, they would have had physical children, and they would be building the kingdom of heaven. Remember, the kingdom of heaven is a physical kingdom, so if they didn't sin, they'd be building a kingdom of heaven if they had not fallen. And it seems that they would have gotten this tree of life, right? Their children, and they'd have gotten eternal life from the tree of life. That's what seemed to happen in the scripture. Having physical children without any sort of physical problems with children bearing, no pain, no sickness, no disease, and there'd be eternity. That's what seemed to happen. But what happened is sin messed this whole thing up. We're heading back to that type of thing here in the mind. It's like a big circle. God's going to try all this back to over here. That's what seems to be happening. And if they put all pieces together, why God had that, that's pretty amazing. As God's children here, we can have spiritual children by witnessing, and we know we have spiritual children. Paul says, I begotten Timothy. I mean, like he was one of his spiritual children. He led people to the Lord. Amen? And by bringing your family should be number one. Your greatest convert should be your wife. I mean, in beliefs. Amen? you know, for the man. And your children should be saved, and grandchildren. I mean, pray for them, whatever, you know. You know, Bible says a good man leave an inheritance for his children's children. It says that in the I think Proverbs. And the first inheritance, I think I covered that, was the physical items. But you know what, though? You treat your children real well, they'll take their children. That's a real blessing, where you've now they got spiritual things they've learned from you, and they're passing it down to their children. That's a real blessing. Amen? So that's a real blessing when they're wanting to do something. Where will these people go forever and ever? We'll cover some of that, you know, these people groups right now. So there it is right there, the first one. Interesting is maybe sometime... we are sons of God, and the Lord lives in us, but we battle with this carnal nature, and one day, hopefully soon, we'll put off this old man, the old nature, and we're out of here. Hopefully soon, okay? Sometimes to consider, and this is going to kind of read it now and kind of tie it to the end. In Revelation 22:14, it reads, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may give the right of the tree of life." That's what was blocked off, remember? And Genesis there, "and may enter through the gates into the city." Most Bible scholars or pastors tell you this is a mistranslation because they can't accept the King James. That seems like it's a work thing, which it is. So I'm going to show you how important all this ties in on bookends, how you're understanding how important that the scriptures are exactly correct. And we're going to come back to where it should have been, where Adam was. Okay, now, so that's the first group. Kind of give you a little heads up for the ending. The second group right here is found people that, by the way, everyone here, all the other people groups, got to get this. We have new bodies, glorified bodies. No other people here have glorified body. They come back in their natural body. Got to get that. Got to get that. They all have... They're resurrected in their natural bodies. I believe that. So, I don't know if Pastor believes that, but I think he probably would. I think that's pretty clear from Scripture. So, everyone else is getting resurrected. So, what a blessing that we have. I'll show you why we have glorified bodies in a minute here. That's a real blessing. Don't take the opportunity that we have and blow an opportunity with it. Get that? What an opportunity we have. That's why the more you learn the Scripture and see the opportunity and the blessings we have, we take advantage of it. Amen? So don't miss that thing. Okay. Matthew 25:32-36, it says, "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and he gave me meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and he took me in. Naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came unto me." These are folks in the tribulation that helped the Jews. Without a doubt, they're going to go in. They didn't take the mark. It says Matthew 24. I have Matthew 34. Oh, sorry about that. That's a scribal error. Sorry about that. That's Matthew 25, verses 32-36. So I scribal error. There we go. Got it right. There we go. So those are people that are in tribulation. They take the mark and they help the Jews out. And that kind of was happening there in World War II, where a lot of folks were sympathetic to the Jews, and they helped them out. Carrie Timboo and all those folks, they had helped the Jews out. And same thing, they're persecuting them, and God's still chosen nation dealing with them, helped them out. So that's a group number two called the sheep. So God's separating the sheep from the goats. The goats go to hell. Sheep enter into the millennial reign. So we're entering in. When God gets us, these people are entering in through tribulation into the millennial reign. Third people group, okay? Zechariah 13, 8, 9. I'll read it to you. Is a third part that doesn't take the mark of the beast. If you take the mark of the beast, you're done. But it's a group that is neutral. I mean, there are people, you know, it's going to be a worldwide thing. Some people, they're not going to be in the cities. They're going to be out somewhere, and they ain't taking the mark. But they were sympathetic. God, they take the mark, so God's going to let them go into tribulation. I believe it's right here in Zechariah 13, 8, 9. And it shall come to pass that in the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. Verse 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will find them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on the name, on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is thy God. So these people here are going to go into tribulation right here. And they're natural bodies. Get that? So we got us, the sheep and the goats, sheep going in, help the Jews out here, people here that they think the mark of the beast, understood the Lord, and they're going in. They're going also into the millennial reign, okay? Now, fourth group here. There are children that are born during the millennial reign. Obviously, I think I read you last time, for sake of the time I have here, in Isaiah, well, let me just look it over because there's a few verses here. I covered this twice. Isaiah chapter 20, 65, 20, it says, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die as 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years shall be accursed. So talking about if you're 100 years old and you die, you're a child. You know, the 1,000 year going on there. So what's going to happen is, on this group here, the folks born in the millennial, they physically being born, they're going to be in the millennial. So there's people having physical children in physical bodies. They're going into the millennial as well. Okay, so that's a fourth group. We have people that are being born in the millennial. Okay, fifth group gets a little bit challenging here, but I think if I lay it all out for you and come to conclusion, it'll make perfect sense for you. Jews and the nation of Israel. There will be three categories of, remember, if you look at the purpose and structure, it's for the Jews. Remember that? You got to get that. The purpose is for the Jews getting their promise, getting their land back, God dealing with his people. So that's kind of what the purpose and structure is. So they're now a big part of this promise that God promised them. The Jews that were martyred and the tribulation. So we know we can find that very easily. The first one is found in Revelation chapter 20. You go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. It says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment and was upon them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's pretty clear, right? Amen? They're going in the millennial in their natural bodies, resurrected. Get that? Okay? There's another group here, folks, and it is the Old Testament Jews and Gentiles that were saved under the law, before the law. Obviously, and that's, I'm going to cover next time. That's real important. You know why? Remember, those people went down to, remember, Abraham's bosom. You had the rich man, which was hell. And then you had, the Bible calls it death and hell. You know, at paradise at their time. So they didn't have the blood of Christ. So in the Old Testament, when you died, where'd you go? You didn't go to heaven. They went to Abraham's bosom. And in fact, some of those in Matthew 24, they came out in their natural bodies and walked into the city. Remember that? So here we have those folks are coming up, and they're going into the millennial reign in their natural bodies. Get that? Okay, get that? Okay. Now, let's look at this third group of Jews. Matthew 24, 9 to 13. This is the Jews that endure to the end during tribulation and go to Petra. Now, this is a pretty easy, But a lot of people read these verses long, think we're going to be part of that. You know, we're the church age, you know, you understand that. So let's just go to Matthew 24, which is there's a lot of confusion here in Matthew chapter 24. You guys probably understand that. And they're always trying to apply things to the church. But this is clearly Israel during the tribulation. Matthew 24, verses number 9. And it says, they shall deliver you. These are Jews now. It's a tribulation up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and he shall be hated all of all nations for thy name's sake. These are Jews. And they shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity hath abound, the love of many shall be waxed cold, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And they go to the Petra and hang out there and so forth. Those people go into the millennial reign in their natural bodies. Get it? So here's groups of people that are going to be in the millennial reign, okay? Now, sixth group. Gentiles that responded to the everlasting gospel. Remember, the everlasting gospel is not our gospel. We're here today. It's a gospel of the kingdom preached by angels in Revelation 14:6. I'm not going to, and the 144,000, Revelation 7:1-14 is for time's sake through this year. That's where the everlasting angel is preaching a gospel. The 144,000 Jews. Now, they must have supernatural power, I imagine, because if you can't travel on a mark, how are they getting around? I don't know that, but they are. Have 145,000 people. They're preaching their people. A lot of them die are under the altar there. But there are no doubt about it. Folks that are saved, tribulation saints, and they will go into Gentiles that remind the gospel. And it tells you here that if you heard the gospel before, you're damned. You know that. So these are Gentiles that have never heard the gospel. And they're seeing what's going on. And the angels preaching to them, the Jews, and they're believing, and they're going to enter into the millennial reign. So we got a lot of groups going in there. Get that? Okay? So look at the verses, Revelation 14:6, 144,000 Jewish tribes, Revelation 7:1-14. All these people are in the millennial in natural bodies. Got to get it. Now, people will die in the millennial. Think about this. Longevity will be back. I read you Isaiah 65:20. But you know what, though? Think about it. It says people will die. And what's interesting about that is when the Lord shows up in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he is coming to establish a kingdom, right? Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. We're not preaching a kingdom gospel. You understand that, you know, which is a picture of the millennial, even though it was had been postponed. It had, if they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, I think right when he marched into Jerusalem there, probably tribulation would have started. Rome was in power. You had Judas Iscariot's temptation. They probably would have, we would have started the millennial. So the church was kind of hidden. You understand that? Hey, if we're kind of 2,000 years, it's like pausing a video player or a movie, right? 69 weeks, we're pausing. They right there, or I believe in Revelation or in Acts chapter 7, when they stoned Stephen, the Lord would have given him a second chance there. He stood up, I'm ready to come back. He could have, Judas Iscariot would have came out of the grave, you know, son of perdition. Rome was in power again. The millennial reign, tribulation, millennial reign. So that's why you don't see the church age in where we are today. Then Paul came on the scene and wrote the New Testament. Amen? And you got to get that, because you know why? That's where a lot of false doctrine comes from, not understanding these type of things. If you don't understand these things, you're getting doctrine to tribulation or Old Testament, and never fits together. What this Bible fits together like a glove if you take it literally and rightly divide it. So you got to understand those things that are going on. That's pretty cool. But things were postponed for 1,000 years until 1,000 years. Don't miss the opportunity that we have. Death and dying are pictures of the millennial. Think about it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, they died again, right? I mean, they're not around. So they died physically, they rose, but they died again. Amen? So somebody either dies once or twice all time. The only one, even the millennial, if they die, they'll come up at the white throne judgment and judge there. We're the only people right now alive. If the Lord comes, we won't taste death. See that there? And we're looking forward to the rapture of the church. Liken, I'll cover later in a minute here, what's going to happen in the millennial reign. Near the end of the millennial reign, they know 1,000 years, devils will be released. Someone born there maybe in 950 years of millennial reign, they know the Lord's coming back. They won't taste that either. Why? Because their hope is, will be, there's corruption coming, devil's going to be released, one person die, and their hope is the tree of life. Get that? See, you either get your life from us, the tree of life in Jesus Christ, or a millennial from a little tree of life. Get that? See, that's a big circle. Get that? It's a big circle. It's real clear. If you understand this millennial study, it kind of ties the whole Bible together. Amen? So that's very important. You get that. Hebrews 9:27, and it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, and where we avoid death are saints alive today looking for the rapture of the church, or someone in the millennial reign in a physical body born in the millennial reign waiting to get a tree of life. Pretty cool. So you see how everyone's waiting for something? Got to get that. Blessed are they that do his commandments and that may have the right of the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. This does not fit any Christian's narrative because they can't explain, how that is, because it's different. It's a different. If it's different, it cannot be the same. Now, Zechariah 14, winding up here. This is important. I'll cover this thing. It's real, real important here. Zechariah 14 is one of the key chapters about the millennial. The first half are about the second coming, and the last half of Ezekiel 14 is about the millennial. I'm going to read it to you in verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king and the Lord of hosts and keep the feasts at their tabernacles. Remember I covered in the structure, the temple will be set up again. Remember that? Building temple again. You're going in tabernacle. The feast tabernacle is in the fall. And they are required to do this to celebrate the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're celebrating his second coming. Let me read verse 17, 19. And it shall be that whoever will not come up of all the families in the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even unto them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not to have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast or tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come up not to keep the feast or tabernacle. So there it is, the feast or tabernacle temple being rebuilt in Ezekiel 40:48. The scribes are right there. And people that are in the millennial are come and worshiping. Now, let me tell you what we're doing. Let me paraphrase. We're saved. You're saved here today. We're in natural bodies. We're drinking coffee at Starbucks. Well, I'm whatever we're going to be. We can drink whatever we want in natural bodies. Amen? And you know what's happening? We can read people's minds. There's some folks over here, Weinstein, and they're whining. They don't like the way things are going. Jesus Christ is what? Reigning? What a rod of iron. Amen? Praise the Lord. And they don't like it. I can read their mind. Hey, man. You better get right with the Lord, man. That's what we're doing here. Get that, folks? You get that, right? You get that, right? Hey, man. Little taste here. What's happening on here? There's some good things going on in our government. People don't like it. Sit on their hands. Amen? I'm saying, right? A little black guy got cancer. They hate somebody. Nothing's going to change. Jesus Christ is reigning right there. 1,000 years. People live. And people... And we're going to be the highway patrol. Get that, folks? You get that, folks? You got to get that? That's what's coming up. I'm looking forward to it. Amen? Okay. Here. Now, let's kind of tie this together here and close. This Revelation 20 is the bookends of the millennial. God put it for you in black and white. How can you miss it? Revelation 20 is the greatest chapter where the bookends of God's millennial plan. In Revelation 21, it says, And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set the seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received the mark on foreheads, for in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection, their natural bodies. On such, the second death had no power. But they shall be priests of God's and of Christ, and shall reign him 1,000 years. There's us, 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. There's the millennial reign right there. There's six times it says 1,000 years. People don't get that. There's no 1,000, right? They ain't reading the book. And there's the bookends. What's exactly happening? Satan gets thrown in over here. God sets up his kingdom. All these people are sitting in there. They're coming to millennial reign. People are born there. And murmuring going on. Nothing changes. Even without the devil, shows you the heart of man. Amen? Got that? And here we are going, hey, man, get right, man. Hey, man. We're trying to do things. And they come up. And the Lord devours them with fire. That's going to happen, folks. I'm going to be there. We're going to be there. Amen? That's pretty cool, man. You will not be disappointed there, man. It's sad, but don't be disappointed. Remember, folks, either come through the tribulation or born a millennial, all their natural bodies are getting rebellious, showing the nature of man. Now, here, key point, close this point here. Everything that God has created has its own free choice. Whether they be cherubims, angels, or people. Somewhere, we have to make a choice. That blows Calvinism out the window. You get that? That's completely wiped that out. You get that? They don't think that. Everyone had a free choice. And when they did with that free choice, it ended in good or bad. Get that, folks? That is major. And this is the final choice right here. The people millennial, they with God on a temple reigning perfectly, what's going on? And God devours them with fire. Hey, man, you better get that. The millennial is a major Bible doctrine that is lost today. I told these three things to the average church today. They think I'm a nut. Seriously, you may get it here, but they have no clue. Good doctrine. Okay, get it? Questions? Pretty good. I mean, hey, this is where we're headed to. We are getting ready for blast off. We can see it coming. Just get dressed in a robe of righteousness and come back. When I was in Israel, they had that Eastern Gate over there where it was all sealed. I'll tell you something, me and the Lord had some time. And I'm sitting there and I had a little microphone on, have a sermon. I go, I'll be coming back. Lord, well, right down through here, a bunch of Muslims, graveyards, probably kick one over. Like when I come through that thing, knock one over, you know, come right through that there. But I'm going to be good. Man, oh, man. That's going to be pretty cool. Seeing that, I'll be right back here when I come back. But not going to be, I have to pay money for a lot of money airplane. I'm coming back with the Lord on a white horse. Amen. Okay, Father in heaven, thank you very much for this third part of the millennial reign. It's cool, but it can be pretty scary for some things that ain't doing nothing, Father. So I just pray as we think about these things, Lord, that we'll be able to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. And we thank you for what you have set up. I'll kind of conclude this thing next week, if you'll tarry. And so we'll just thank you for what we've heard today. May you move accordingly. Thank you for your word of God, which lays out your plan. It's kind of a little hidden around there, but it yet is in plain sight. If we just take it literally and rightly divide it, it's right here. How can you miss it? Thank you, Father, for doing this. May you encourage folks today and convict them. We give you the praise and the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.